Okay, we're beginning here on the Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph by the two dots, and discussing now about the Chatimas Ha'edim on the get was Mipnei Tikkun Olam. And actually, the way that our Mishnah reads, it reads that Rabbi Gamliel was metakein the neder instead of a shvua by the amanot, and then afterwards it says Ha'edim Chotmim on the get Mipnei Tikkun Olam, so that the Edim signed on the get Mipnei Tikkun Olam. There were Girsaot that had it Veh, with a Vav there, Veh Ha'edim Chotmim HaGet Mipnei Tikkun Olam, which suggested that the Chatimas HaGet by Edim was also a Takana of Rabbi Gamliel. On the other hand, Tosos over here points out, and the Rabbeinu Tam says he takes out the Vav from Veh Ha'edim, because he says that from our Gemara we're going to see that it was a takana prior to Rabbi Gamliel that existed in terms of signing on the get. So he doesn't think that Rabbi Gamliel is the one who is metakin it. So that's an independent statement. Another why it's found in the Mishnah is because the Mishnahs here are dealing with all those situations of tikkun olam, but not necessarily that it was Rabbi Gamliel's statement. So now we're going to deal with Ha'edim Chotmim HaGet Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So Gemara asks, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, Doraitohu. What do you mean Mipnei Tikkun Olam? That's Min HaTorah. Not necessarily literally Min HaTorah, but we know it from the Nevi'im by Yirmiyahu, right? In the Perek, where Yirmiyahu buys the Sadeh from his relative, his Goel, the Sadeh from his relative. At the end of that Perek, Kadosh Baruch Hu says and gives him a Haftacha that in the future, people will come back, there will be commerce, trade, transactions in Eretz Yisrael. And there it says, V'chato b'sefer v'chatom, that people will write contracts and they will sign them. So it sounds like part of transacting or part of having shtarot is that people write them and then they sign on them. So Amar Rabba, so this takana is Latricha, right? Le Rabbi Elazar. This is only according to Rabbi Elazar that we need this takana. The Amar Ede Mesira Karte, that he believes that Ede Mesira Arkarte. So he believes that you don't need Ede Chatima, that simply if you have Edim that can testify to the fact that he gave a get to the woman, or that he gave the contract to the person, that Ede Mesira Karte, you don't need anybody to sign on the document. So therefore, Takinu Rabbanon Ede Chatima Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So because of Tikkun Olam, they were metakin that the Edim can sign on the document, even in the state where Rabbi Elazar says Edim Mesira Karte, and that's sufficient in and of itself. Nevertheless, we want the Edim to sign on the document. Why? The Zimni Demaite Sade. First of all, because maybe the Edim Mesira will die. The Edim Mesira died, now we have no one to be Mekayim to get with. Inami Zimni Da'azle Medina Tayam, or the other possibility is that they'll travel, they'll go overseas, and they won't be available to us to be Mekayim to get. Whereas if we have Edim who sign it, we can be Mekayim their signatures from other places, we can have other people recognize their signatures, there are other ways to be Mekayim to get. So Mipnei Tikkun Olam, even though it's sufficient with Edim Mesira, nevertheless, we said, please, you know, have the Edim sign. And we saw in other places, Tosus mentions that in Rov Pamim, that the Edim Mesira are the ones who also did the Edei Chatima, they're also the ones who signed on the get. But sign on it, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, said they will be available. Now, there is a Machlokas, we've mentioned this a number of times. The Rif over here speaks about it, and we've seen Tosus back on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. But there is a machlokas with regards to the position of Rabbi Elazar. Does the Rabbi Elazar believe that when we say Edei Mesira Karte, that means only Edei Mesira? The only way to have a kosher star or kosher get is to have Edei Mesira there. The signing of the document is solely Mipnei Tikkun Olam, and that if you sign the document, it's Eino Malo Veino Morit. It has no impact on the document. On the other hand, right, if there's a possibility that what happens if Edim just signed on the get, and they did not have any Edei Mesira there, would that work? So Tosfos and Daf Dalet says no. Tosfos says when Rabbi Elazar says Edei Mesira, he means Edei Mesira and nothing else. Without Edei Mesira, there is no star, there is no get. That's the only way to create a kosher get and a kosher star is Edei Mesira, Edei Chatima, Eino Malin Veino Moridin. On the other hand, the Rif says no. What Rabbi Elazar says is, if you have Edei Chatima, that's a kosher get, kosher star. But even if you don't have Edei Chatima and only have Edei Mesira, right, then it also works. It's a kosher get, kosher star. So meaning that Rabbi Elazar believes either or. Either you have Edei Chatima or you have Edei Mesira. That either one is sufficient. Although, he says, L'chatchila, according to Rabbi Elazar, you need Edei Mesira. L'chatchila, you should have Edei Mesira. But nevertheless, if there were only Edei Chatima, then that would work. Meaning that it would be a kosher get, kosher star. Again, we said on Daf Dalet, Tosfos disagrees. And also over here, the Tosfos Reed also mentions that he brings down that Shita, and he quotes that Shita from the Reed, and then he says that he doesn't agree, that he says, Edei Chatima Sagi below Edei Mesira, and he says, Ve'eino Nirli. And he says he doesn't think that that's the case, meaning that even when there are Edei Chatima without Edei Mesira, he thinks it's a possible get, and that is the the only way to create a kosher get or kosher star is to have Eidim Seer. Again, very important machlokas between the Rif and the Tosafot. Now the Gemara continues. Rav Yosef Avmar Afilu Taim El Rabbi Meir. That this takana could even be according to Rabbi Meir, who believes that Eidei Chatim Akarte. Well, Eidei Chatim Akarte, we already know that they have to sign on the document. So what do you need a takana to have them sign on the document? Hitkinu She'edeim Mefarshim Shmoteim Begitin. No, they used to make explicit their names in the Gitin. Mipnei Tikkun Olam. Kedetanya, because you have a brisa bishona, you chotev ani ploni chatamti eid. Right, he would say, I, this person was chotev as an eid, right? And ktav yoto yotzim b'makom acher. If they could find this his handwriting somewhere else, then fine. Kasher v'im lav pasul. If not, it would be pasul. So I'm Rabbi Gamliel. Takana gedola hitkinu. They made this great takana. And this is where again the Rabbeinu Tam believes here that the takana gedola was not from Rabbi Gamliel, but he was speaking about in the past. You know, there was such a takana in place, so that's clear that Rabbi Gamliel was not the one who was mitakin it. Takana gadol itkinu shiyu mefarshim shmoteyam bikitin, that the edim should be explicit in writing their names in the get and also signing the get. Means that they will sign the get, have their signatures on the get. Not simply that they write that they are an ed on the get, but they will also sign the get, right? Mipnei tikkun olam, because of the tikkun olam. Why is that? Shemeachar shi parshush motam. Rashi says after they will be explicit with their names, yachzuru achar yodeim. Then they'll find people who know them, amakirim la'id al ktav yadam. Then people can find people who know their signature, who know what their writing is. So the fact that they are the ones who write their names and sign their names on the get, right, is easier than to figure out who they are, and it's easier also to be mekayim the get. So that was what the takana was. So Gemara says, well, implicit from that is that siman alo, that it's not sufficient to have a simona, just a sign or some sort of emblem that represents a person, but you must have actually a full-fledged signature. Baha Rav, Tzir Kura, right? And Rav was, instead of writing his name, he used to draw a picture of a court. Rabbi Chanina, Tzir Charuta. And Rabbi Chanina used to draw a picture of a charuta, like a branch of a palm tree. Rav Chista, Samach, he used to do from, I guess, from Rav Chista. He used to make a samach. From, I don't know if he drew a samach or he made a some sort of emblem, but that was his signature. Rav Oshia Ayin. Rav Oshia used to use an ayin as his emblem or signature. Rabbi Barbahuna Tzeira Mikuta. He used to do a mikuta, which is a sail, as his signature. So in all these instances, you see the Rabbonon did not actually sign their names, but rather they used some sort of emblem or some sort of simon that was representative of their name. So Gemara says, "Shani Rabbanan debekim b'simanayu," that the Rabbanan are different because everybody recognizes their simanim. I mean, people are used to seeing their simanim, and then everybody will know who it is that's signing on the get, so they don't have to explicitly write their names or sign their names. So Gemara says, "Well, mikara b'mayafkinu, but this b'mayafkinu." Well, okay, that's fine. You say that their Rabbanan signatures are known or their simanim are well known, but how did they become well known? And that's the assumption is that they are well known. But how did they get to the point where they're well known that they can use it now as a signature? So that the Gemara says, "Bidiske." Bidiske are either letters of shalom, people writing them letters, or shelot v'tshuvot. The people wrote them shelot v'tshuvot, and they responded to them. So therefore, their signature, or their simanim, became well known, and since they were well known, they don't have to write their names explicitly in the get or sign their names explicitly. They can use a simon because they are the equivalent for other people of a signature. Now, Gemara is going to continue with the halacha that the Mishnah discussed about Pruzbol, that Hillel was Hitken Pruzbol. So now the Gemara says, Tanhatam, Pruzbol Eino Mishamet. A Pruzbol does not have the principle of Shemitah Kesafim applied to it, meaning that when the Shemitah comes, the loan is not forgiven. Zechad min ha-dvarim shitken Hillel ha-zakein. This is one of the takanos of Hillel ha-zakein. Shira'ah et ha'am. He saw the people shenimna mil havot. He saw the people were stopping to lend money. Zedzeh v'avru ha-mashu katub b'torah. Then they violated the Torah principle in Devarim that says Yisharim lecha pinyan and Devarim levavcha b'lial, that you'll say Karab shneva sheta sheva, that Shemitah is coming, I'm not going to lend money because I'm going to end up losing the money because it'll be forgiven. And here they were not lending for exactly that reason, so they were violating that Yisra the Torah. Amad v'hitkin Pruzbol, then he went and established a Pruzbol which would prevent the Shemitah Kesafim of these loans. Vizeh hu gufo shel Pruzbol. And this is the contents or the main body of a Pruzbol. Mosrani lachem ploni, dayanim. I am giving over to you, judges, shemakom ploni in this location, shekol chov sheish li etzel ploni. Any obligation that I have with this person, mean that I'm a creditor to these debtors, so any claims I have against this debtor I'm giving over to you, shagvenu kos man sheirtzeh, that I can go ahead and collect it whenever I want. By dayanim chotmim lamata, then the dayanim sign at the bottom, aedim sign at the bottom. So now, that is the prusbo that Pillow was mitakin in order to get around the problem of shmitat kisafim. Now the truth is that, and the Tosfos mentioned here, and the Ran also mentions it, that there are other ways to get around shmitat kisafim, meaning that a loan that is done ala mashkon is also not subject to shmitat kisafim. Also, a person can give it over to Beis Din, they can give over Mosrani, they can give over their loans to Beis Din, and that's also not subject to shmitah. And a third eitzah that the Ran gives is that you could also make a tnai. If a person makes a condition at the time of the loan that the loan will not be forgiven on the shmitah, that is also works, that is sufficient. And I think the last thing is also, yeah, again, if a person's milval shtar, he can hand the shtar over to Beis Din, and it won't be nishmat. So why did Hillel have to come along and mitake in puzbo? So Ryan gives two answers. One answer is that for milval pet, for oral transactions, oral creditors don't have that protection. They can't give over their shtarot to Beis Din because they don't have a shtar. That's one. For one person, that maybe they were mitake in puzbo. Number two is that even as a shtar, not everybody's willing to hand over their shtarot to Beis Din. That's not something that everybody was prepared to do. So since they weren't prepared to do that, he created the puzbo, which created the effective giving over of the loans to Beis Din without having to hand over the shtar. And the last thing he says, what about that tnai you can make in the beginning? Is some people won't remember at the time they're giving the loan. They won't remember about it. And later on, how do they rectify the situation? So Ron says that was the reason for the Takana Prusbo, even though there were other methodologies, other ways to get around the problem of Shnata Shemitah. Now, in all these cases, the reason that it's not a problem, there's no Shemitah Kesafim, is because there's no issue of Loigos, meaning that the creditor will no longer press the debtor for collection, either because he has a Mashkon already, or because he has a Shtar, so he can be Govim Nechasim Shubodim, or because he has Beis Din. He's handed over to Beis Din, and Beis Din will collect on his behalf, and therefore he's not the one who is Egos, he's not the one who is pressing the debtor at that point in time. So now the Gemara has a question, a basic question. How could it be that we have a Doraisa Din, Minat Torah, there is Shemitah Kesafim, Shvius, and then Hillel comes along and says, you know what, it's not going to be a Mishamet. Prusbo is going to overrule that. So how can we have a Din Derabonon that is Okir a Din Doraiso? So Amar Abai says, that's not a problem because it's B'Shvius B'Zmanazeh. We're talking about Shvius today. Meaning, what does that mean, Shvius today? V'Rabi Hi. That's according to the position of Rabbi who believes, the Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Zed Dvar HaShmitah. This is the Dvar HaShmitah. What does it mean, Dvar HaShmitah? Shamot. B'shnei Shmidot HaKotu B'Daver. It says Zed Dvar HaShmitah, and it says Shamot. So there's two Shmitot discussed here. Echad Shmitat Karka, Ve'echad Shmitat Kisafim. One is the Shmita of the Karka, and one is the Shmita at Kisafim. Bizman Shata Mishamit Karka, Ata Mishamit Kisafim. The time that you do Shmita at Karka, then you do Shmita at Kisafim. Bizman Shiyata Mishamit Karka, Yata Mishamit Kisafim. When you don't do Shmita at Karka, then you don't do Shmita at Kisafim. What the meaning of Shmita at Karka here is a good question, because there's two possibilities. Shmita at Karka can mean either like Shmita, meaning that you do not work the ground, meaning that when there is no Shmita midoraisa, when there's no restriction against working the ground midoraisa, then so too there is no restriction, or there's no Shmita Kesafim midoraisa. There is no forgiving of loans at the end of the Shemitah, because even though Shemitah Kesafim is a Chovas Aguf and shouldn't go away without when there's no Kedusha Daret, nevertheless, Shemitah Karka is something that's associated with Mitzvah Tfuyot Ba'aretz, and since there is no Kedusha Midaraisa anymore, right, in the Kedusha Sa'aretz, therefore, we have a Hekesh between them, and just like Shemitah Karka doesn't apply Midaraisa, so too, Shemitah Kesafim does not apply Midaraisa. That would be the limud, one possibility of learning this, and that's what Rashi mentions over here. That Rashi mentions the reason that Shemitah does not apply today, or Shemitah does not do Raisa today, is because the Yovel is not Noik. And when there is no Yovel, there's also no Shemitah Mido Raisa. So Rashi brings up a problem, which you have to deal with, which is that Hillel lived when the Beis HaMikdash was still around. Hillel lived in the time of Bayit Sheni. So maybe, why wasn't it true that the Yovel was Noeg then? If the Yovel was Noeg then, there was Shemitah Doraisa. So what's he talking about? So from this, Rashi says, Rashi proves from this, Va'afagav the hilo b'bayt sheni havo, Svirle abayit the bayt sheni hol v'lo haya yovel noig, lo ano gushmitim doraisa. That's right, at the time in this bayt sheni, there was no yovel. Why was there no yovel? Because to have a yovel, you need kol yoshve aleha, or you need rov yoshve aleha, you need the majority of Klal Yisrael to be in Eretz Yisrael, and that was not the case in bayt sheni. Therefore, there was no Yovel, and since there was no Yovel, there was also no Shemitah Midoraisa. So even though Hillel lives before the Korban HaBayit, nevertheless, the Shemitah at that point was only Midirabonon. Now he does bring down, Rashi brings down an alternative shot that I saw in Torah Tkoanim, that Shvias Bizman, Shein Yovel is Doraisa. So Rashi says that it is a Machlokas, and Abayi holds like the one who says that Shemitah is tied to Yovel, and that doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. As opposed to, there's another opinion who says that even when Yovel's not holding, Shemitah would still meet the Oraisa. Now, that's one way to explain Shemitah Takarka. On the other hand, the other possibility of saying Shemitah Takarka is referring to Yovel, meaning that Shemitah Takarka is when the Karkaot go back to their original owners on the Yovel. So, too, there is Shemitah Ksafim. Now, these are both, this is Shemitah Takarka is not Shemitah when we're talking about working the ground in Shemitah, but rather that there is no Shemitah Ksafim when the Yovel is not Noheg. When there's no Yovel to give back the properties, there is no Shemitah Ksafim. So based on that, you would say that just like there is no Yovel because it's not either Yerov Yoshveh, not Aleha, or because it's a Davar HaToli Karko, and so therefore Yovel is not Noheg. If Yovel is not Noheg, then to give back the properties to their original owners, so too Shemitah Ksafim is not applicable when there is no Yovel to have the properties returned. That's the suggestion of the Reino Tam. The Ran digs the middle position, says that it means, right, Shemitah Karka means that when the Yovel is not Nohug, meaning that they don't give the properties back, then Shemitah is not Nohug, meaning both Shemitah Ksafim and Shemitah Karka. Nothing to do with Shemitah is Nohug. Now, Rabbeinu Tam here is an unbelievable position. It's a very unusual position. The Ran calls it the Dochuk Ma'od. It's a very difficult position. But the Rabbeinu Tam, dealing with the problem of Rashi, that Hillel lived during Bayit Sheni, and he says that, you know what, the truth is that the Yovel was Nohug during Bayit Sheni, and he brings a number of proofs. First of all, he talks about the fact that the Mishnah discusses that they were, Hillel had to be a Metakin, because they were Noheg Batei Arei Choma, filled with houses that are sold in walled cities, that if you wait a year and it's not redeemed within the year, it's mitut, it's forever, that sale. So that was Noheg during the time of Bayit Sheni, and we know that Batei Arei Choma are only Noheg when there is a Yovel. So that's number one. He brings an additional proof that they dealt with Eved Ivri during Bayit Sheni, and Eved Ivri also has only aspication when there is a Yovel. So Rabbeinu Tam brings a number of these kushyot, of these problems, and because of those problems, he says, you know, truthfully, the Yovel was Nohug at the time of Hillel, and Shemitah was Doraisa. And when Hillel was Metakein, he was Metakein for the first generation after the Churban. He was Metakein for after the Churban. It wasn't for his generation itself, but in the future, he saw that there would be a Churban, and he was Metakein in the future. But, truthfully, there was a Yovel during the second bayit. And what does the Rabbeinu Tam do with the biggest problem, which is Rov Yoshveh Aleha, that you need Rov Yoshveh Aleha? So he says, well, you need a representation of all the 12 Shvatim. And he says that we know from the Ezra and from the Navi that the according to the Gemara, at least in Erechin, that they brought back the Shvatim were brought back in the time of the rule of Yoshio, and therefore in the Golos Bavel there was a representative of all Yud Bet Shvatim, and therefore when Ezra comes up we know that he has a picking from all the Yud Bet Shvatim. If that's the case, then that is sufficient to create the Yovel or have the Yovel be intact. Again, the Rabbeinu Tam is a very difficult position, but he says the Yovel was Nahug during the time of Bayit Sheni. Right, the possibility, again, the answer, the Ran talks about this, that Yovel was not Nahug, and they kept Batei Arei Choma as either a Takana Derabanan or as a Zecher to the original law, but not that it was in effect Midoraisa. The other ways to answer up the problems of the Rabbeinu Tam, but nevertheless, two Shittot, one Shitta is Rashi, and other Rishonim will say that the Yovel was not Nahug during Bayit Sheni, and the Rabbeinu Tam who says, yes, it was Nahug during Bayit Sheni, all trying to deal with the problem that Hillel was Metakin during the time of Bayit Sheni. The Tanya. Okay, so now we're continuing the Gemara. Vitakinu Rabbanan, so even though generally Shemitah Ksafim doesn't apply now because either the Yovel is not Nahug or because Shemitah Dorais is not Nahug, but Taraginu Rabbanan de Tishamet, that despite the fact that it's not Midorais, there's no Shemitah Ksafim, nevertheless, the Chamim were attacking that there should be Shemitah Ksafim, Zecher LeShvi'it, to remember the original Takana, the original din of Shvi'it. Then Hillel saw that the people were no longer lending Zedzeh Amad Vitkin Puzbo. So then he went ahead and established the Puzbo. So now Gemara says, they ask the question from the other side. If you say that Shvi'is is the Rabbanon and Shemitah Ksafim is all Midah Rabbanon, Umi'ika Midah Midah Raisa Lo Mishamta, Minatora, this loan is outstanding, meaning that the loan is a good loan and that the Shemitah does not knock it off, Shviz, V'takina Rabbanan Tisha Meit. And then the Rabbanan come along and they make a takana that the loan should be forgiven. How can the Rabbanan come along and have the loan be forgiven in the face of a Din D'oraisa where the loan is not forgiven because it's not Nahuga Yom Shemitah Tzafim? So Amar Abaye, Abaye gives one answer, and continuing the position of Abaye, Shevi Al Tasehu, that it's a Shevi Al Yatase, it's a passive form, and we know that the Rabbanan have permission to be Oker Devar Matorah when it's a Shevi Al Tasehu, when it's passive. Now what is passive here, what is being passive here? So Rashi says the passivity over here is Al Yedei HaLoveh, that the Loveh Hazesh Shavu Vatel. This Loveh doesn't do anything. He just doesn't repay the loan. By not repaying the loan, then he is a Shevi Al Taseh, and that's all he's doing. So he's not doing anything against actively against D'oraisa. On the other hand, Duran learns what's the Shevi Al Taseh here is the Malveh, that the creditor doesn't go and collect. That's the Shevi Al Taseh. He doesn't go actively and correct. Rather, collect. He rather sits back and doesn't collect. So probably both, mixture of both, that Malveh and Loveh are both being passive over here. By being passive, you're not Oker Din D'oraisa actively, and that's, we know that the Rabbanan Nitan to Oker Devar Min HaTorah when it's a Shevi Al Taseh. Now, Rava gives in a different answer. Question is, Rava only answering the question that we have here, is how do we have Shemitah Midar Rabbanan today? Or is Rava even going back on the original question, was how was Hillel be able to Mitake in the Prusbo? So Rashi believes that that's going back even on the original question, it was how was answering both questions, how was Hillel able to Mitake in the Prusbo against Del Raisa? And number two is, how can the Rabbanan be Mitake in a Shemitah Tkusafim, according to Rabbi, who thinks that Shemitah Tkusafim is not D'oraisa in these days. So he says, Hefker Bezdin Haya Hefker. That's the power of Bezdin. When it comes to Dinim and Monos, Bezdin can change ownership. And that's exactly what they're doing over here. They're changing ownership. Either by Prusbo, they're going ahead and using Hefker Bezdin Hefker to change whether the creditor is owed the money by the debtor, or the other way around. Again, when they had Shemitah Tkusafim, they stopped, right, the ability of the creditor to collect that money. So that's in the purview of Beis Din to change Dinim Mimonos, to change ownership. Shinemar, how do we know this? Because it says in Ezra, at the end of Ezra, it says, V'chol asher yavod shloshet yamim, hayamim, whoever doesn't come in the next 2 days, katsata sarim, based on what the princes, what the people had suggested, the leaders had suggested, v'atzkenim, yacharam kol yirchusho, all of his possessions will go into chayrim, will be confiscated, v'hu ivdal mikal agola, and he'll be separated, he'll be knocked out of the Kala Gola that is found in Yerushalayim. So this is talking about, again, the end of Ezra, where the people in Yerushalayim, they're crying about the fact they're having some difficulties, and then they come to Ezra and they say that they've married non-Jewish wives, and then they have a whole process here where Ezra talks to them about getting rid of their non-Jewish wives and their non-Jewish children, and there was a big tshuva movement. So over there, when they make the announcement for everybody to come to here to speak to Ezra, it says, if you don't come, then you're going to lose your rechush, meaning it'll be taken away, and Hibadomi Kala Gola, and you'll be separated out from the rest of the Kala Gola. So you see from here that there was the Anshei Knesset Agdola, and they had the power to confiscate property. Now, Rabbi Eliezer Amar Mechacha. Now, we have another source for this, and that is Eila Nachalot. This is in Yoshua, when they're giving out, when Yoshua is doing the Chiluk Haaretz. It says, Eila Nachalot Asher Nichalu Elazar HaKohen Yeshua Bin Nun. Right? These are the properties, or that, or the Nachalot, the inheritances that were given out by Elazar HaKohen Yeshua Bin Nun, Rashi Avot. Right, and over there it says the Rashi Avot and the leaders of the families. Inyan Rashim Etzel Avot. Right, what do you have to do with the Rashim and Avot? What does the father? Father gives Yerusha to his son by passing it down. What does this have to do with Rashim? Why are they Rashi Avot doing the Nachla? Lomar lecha ma Avot manchilim et b'nehem. Just like Avot can give Yerusha over to the children, kol mashiyirtzu, whatever they want. Of Rashim manchilim etam kol mashiyirtzu. So too, the heads of the nation can make determinations about where to give the property. So this again, this idea of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, that Bezdin's empowered to change ownership, and by being empowered to change ownership, they can then overrule a quote-unquote Din D'oraisa, because the Din D'oraisa deals with Dinei Mamononos, and all they have to do is change the facts on the ground, and then there's no longer a Din D'oraisa. So by changing who owns the money, then you've also changed the need for there to be a Din D'oraisa. Even if it's a Din D'oraisa, you're not Oker the Din, because the Din doesn't apply anymore by changing the ownership. So now, Ibayilhu. Kihitkin pilo puzdo ladari hu detakin oh dilma ladari alma nami takin. So when Hillel was metakin, the Prusbo was only for his generation, or was it even for subsequent generations? Now again, according to Rashi, it makes sense because he was metakin it for his own generation. According to Rabbeinu Tam, he said he was only metakin it for the future. What does it mean for his generation? So Rabbeinu Tam gives his dochak pshat that says that it's for the first generation after the Churban. That's what he meant for his generation, but not for his subsequent generations. So lamai nafkemino, what's nafkemino levitule? Whether they can uproot it, whether another basin can come and be oker the din of or the din of Prus Bowl that Hillel had established. Yeah, Martla Dari, who they're talking if it was only for his generation, Mavat Linan Light. Then we can go ahead and Mavatal it. Yeah, Martla Dari, Alma Nami talking. If he says it's forever, right, you can't go ahead because I'm Bezdin Yachol, the Vatal Divre Bezdin Chavero. That a future Bezdin cannot come and be Oker, that which an earlier Bezdin put into place. Elim Ken Godo Menu Bechachmo Beminyan, unless they're greater than them both in Minyan and in Chachma. So then you will require a full Beis Din that is greater than the Beis Din of Hillel HaZaken, and only then would you be able to be Oker this Takana of Prus Bowl. But if it was only the Darei, if it was only for his generation, then after his generation they were Nohuk still to do it, then to be Oker that Takana, you would not need a full Beis Din. Now the Ron says you would still need a Beis Din to be Oker it, you just wouldn't have the requirement of Godol B'Chochmo B'Minyan, but you'd simply just need a regular Beis Din could go ahead, or a main Beis Din could go ahead and do it and be Oker this Halacha. So what is the Tosfos over here discusses a little bit, I just mentioned over here, what do you need in terms of when is a Beis Din allowed to come along and be Oker or something that was established prior to it. And so Tosfos lays out some principles over here. He says that if it's lo pashat aminag ba'am, if it's something that the generation did not accept when the Takana was put in place, that the generation was not mekabel this Takana, then even a Beis Din that's katan, even a smaller Beis Din can go ahead and be Oker it because the Am was not mekabel it. And then if the Am is mekabel it and the Takana goes into place, then only a Beis Din that's Godol B'Chochmo B'Minyan go ahead and be Oker such a din or such a din that's been established by a previous Beis Din. So now Gemara says, Mai, what's the din here? Tashma, Damar Shmo, Lot Katvinen, Prusbal, El Ibe Dino de Sura, or Ibe Dino de Nardo. That you can only write a Prusbal in the Beis Din of Sura, which was Rav's Beis Din in the city of Rav, Ibe Dino de Nardo, which is the city of Shmo. If you say that the Prusbal is established forever, why can't any Beis Din write the Prusbal? Why is it only unique to these Bati Dinim that you can do it? So Gemara says, no. Dilma ki takin hilo ledari almo. Now maybe hilo was been takin it forever, but there was a qualification in his takana. Could go on beidin adi day, or like his type of beidin, like hilo's beidin, or Rav Ami Ravasi, or the beidin of Rav Ami Ravasi, who were dalime lafuke memona, that their beidin had enough power that they could actually extract money, that they could put into force any takana that they have. Aval the kuli almo lo. But any other Beis Din would not be in that way. So the only way Prus Bowl works is if you actually give the Prus Bowl over to a Beis Din that has the ability to extract that money. Because then there's no Loi Ghost because the Beis Din can get the money. But if Beis Din is not empowered to get the money, then there is a problem with Loi Ghost because you know the Beis Din can't get the money. The only way for you to get the money is for you to make the claim and for you to press the Lova. So from here we can't prove either way because of the statement of Shmuel. So Tashma, we have another statement of Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel ha Prusbala ubana de dainohu. That this Prusbal is I'll translate it here. The Gemara is going to ask what ubana is in later on, but ubana is a chutzpah of the dayanim because they are taking money that doesn't belong to them. I mean that the loan should have been forgiven, and they're establishing that the loan should stay outstanding, right? Iayashir chayo. If I had the power. Right then, Avtilinei, I would have go ahead and I would have been mevatel such a the takano of Prus Bowl. So it says a point of view that he wanted to be mevatel, he just didn't have the koch to do it, but he wanted to be mevatel it. That he had the ability to be mevatel. If he has the ability to be mevatel, it sounds like that Hillel's only talking Prus Bowl ledoro for his own door. So Gemara says Avtilinei, how could he be mevatel it? Va ein Beis Din. How could he be mevatel it if it was l'dari alma? If it was forever that Hillel put into place, Shmuel would not have that ability to go and be mevatel it. So the fact that Shmuel says, I would be mevatel, I'm just not able to do it right now, then it shows you that Shmuel believed he could be mevatel. If he could be mevatel, it shows you that Hillel was only talking Prus Bowl l'dora for his own door. So Mar says, no, hachi gamar, you can read it this way. Imi asher chal yoter mi Hillel avtelinei. No, if I had more power than Hillel, I mean, if I was Godol B'Chochma Minyan, then I would have been Mevatel it. So meaning that it was L'dari Alma, just that Shmuel says, I can't do it because I don't have Godol B'Minyan B'Chochma. But had I had Godol B'Minyan B'Chochma, I would have been Mevatel it. The Rav Nachman Amar, Akimeno. I would keep the Prus Bowl. I would establish the Prus Bowl. So Mar says, Akimeno, HaMikayei Mikoi. What does he have to establish it for? It's already there. What do you mean? It's already in place. So that sounds like, again, that Hillel was only attacking the Prus Bowl for his door. And that's why Rav Nachman says, I would establish it because it wasn't fully established at the time of the Hillel, the Dari Alma. I'll say something about it. Not that I'll be mekayim it. The avagav de lo kotuv kekotuv dami. The Rav Nachman extended the takana. I would have extended the takana of Hillel not only to include where somebody actually writes a prosbo, but even when someone does not write a prosbo, it would be as if he did write a prosbo. I mean, even if it was not written, it's as if it's written. And we'll establish that everybody lends on the basis of technically having a tnai based in that there's a prosbo involved. So now the Gemara goes back to the statement of Shmuel that says, Prusba ubana de dainahu. Hay ubana lishna de chutzpahu. Is it a lashon of chutzpah, right? Meaning that they're doing something that is beyond the bounds of what they really should do. O lishna de dichusahu. Or is it a lashon of convenience? Meaning that they did it so they wouldn't have to go and collect all their loans before the Shavuos. So they did it in order to prevent that everybody going to collect before the Shavuos. They went ahead and said, well, we'll do a Prusba so we won't have to do that. So Tashma, Damar Ula. Aluva kalo shizinta bekerev chupata. Right, that it's a big insult. It's a chutzpah that a kala who is mizane in her chupa when she's still in her chupa. So what that is, you see from there that the word aluva is used to mean chutzpah. That it's used to mean so insolence. That it's somebody who is overstepping their bounds over here. So now we're gonna have a little agadata based on that. Amar of Mari Barad Bat Shmuel. Right, so Rav Mari, the grandson of Shmuel, through his daughter, Mikra, where do we know this from? Ad Shamelech b'misibo, right, near Di Natan Recho. So while I was still in the chambers with the king, my, over there, the smell of my perfume went forth. Meaning that, and Rashi interprets what does it mean, Nidri Natan Recho, that the smell of my perfume already wore off. Right, so that, what does that mean? So that means, that when Bnei Yisrael were at Har Sinai, they were in the chuppah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and while they were still at Har Sinai, within the time they were still there, within the 4 days afterwards, they go ahead and they worship the eagle. So that's referring to it. So while they still had their perfume was wearing off from the Har Sinai, they went ahead and they did the eagle and they were mezana. So that's also weird. That's a luva. That's a chutzpah that they do such a thing. So now Rava has a little nichusa here, that adayin chavivutahu gaban. That despite the fact that Bnei Yisrael did this, that Hashem still loves them, d'chtiv natan. It says, natan recho, that the smell has gone. Meaning that the smell of the perfume has gone, has been given off and gone. Lo'tiv hisriach, that it went bad. Meaning that it wasn't a negative term where we said hisriach, that he didn't want to see them anymore, it smelled bad, but rather it just doesn't have the pleasant smell anymore. So it's neutral. If it's neutral, at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still there, still wants us there, or still will accept us there. Had he said masriach, that it's an awful smell, then he wouldn't have wanted us back. So Tan Rabbanim, while we're talking about this, aluva, hane alavim. Those that are, right, ne'alav, that people put them down or are not nice to them, ve'inon olvim, and they don't take retribution and they don't answer back. So people make fun of them or people say things to them, right, and they have chutzpah from other people. People say anything, they don't answer back. Number one, shomim charpatan v'inim yishavim, they hear their people denigrating them and they don't respond. Osim me'ahava, they worship Hashem out of ahava, out of love, not for schar or me'ira. Usmechim yisurim, and they love yisurim, and that they take yisurim me'ahava. Aleim ha'katuv omer, on the bam, this pasuk says, v'avav kitzeit ha'shemesh b'gvurato. The beloved ones of Hashem are like the sun out, the bright sun in its full force that's out. And these are people that Hashem wants or loves tremendously, because here these are people that are not omed on their pride, and they allow others to put them down, and they don't respond, and therefore they're ne'av ala briot, and they're also ne'av ala kodesh baruch hu, because they act with midos, tremendous midos. So now the Gemara, we'll just finish up with this, asks, my prusbo, what does the word prusbo mean? I mean, we're using this term prusbo, but where does this word come from? So Rav Chista, prus, buli ubuti. So Rashi says prus, not prus, but prus means a takana or a contract. Buli ubuti. What's buli ubuti? Buli are elu ashirim. These are the rich folks. Dichtiv v'shabarti et gaon uzchem. That I will break your strong ones. What does that mean? Your strong ones. The Tanya Rav Yosef elu bolot shibyuda. These are the rich ones in Yehuda. So that we see that the word bolot refers to the wealthy. Boti. Eloaniim, boti are the poor people. Dichtiv havei tavitenu, and the Eirachsaro. So you have to give him enough that he can sustain himself. And we're talking about the Levim who are aniim. So you see from this, what is it? So prusbo is actually a conjugation of prus, the takana of buli and buti. They put those together. They came up with the word prusbo, which is a takana for the rich and the poor. The rich so that they will not lose their loans. And for the poor so that they'll find loans available because people will be willing to lend because the Shemitah won't take it away. Another possibility is the time of, Amalei Rava Lo'oza. Rava asked someone who did not speak Hebrew. only spoke the foreign language. He asked him, "My Prusbol, what's the meaning of Prusbol? I'm Malay." He said to him, "It's Pursa de Milso." He says that it's a takana. It's a something that is established, a takana that is established, or a takana that's written out. So, I mean, it's a decree. So that's what Prusbol means. It's a decree or a takana that was established by Hillel. So we'll stop over here.